Seminario en línea. Escuela de Administración Pública de Castilla y León.
Os damos la bienvenida a este seminario en línea organizado por la ECLAP, la Escuela de Administración Pública de Castilla y León. Y hoy nos vamos de viaje, de trabajo, pero nos vamos de viaje. Aquí vamos a hablar de claves para tener una reunión en el extranjero. A ver qué tal. Y contamos hoy con Matías, que bueno, que como siempre nos va a ayudar mucho a que, pues eso, nuestro oído se vaya habituando ahí a escuchar en inglés, ¿verdad? Hola Matías, ¿qué tal estás?
Okay, so bienvenidos, welcome everybody to the next lesson that we're going to do together. Today we're going to be talking about travel. Vamos a hablar de viaje, and everyone loves to go on holiday. And so what we're going to talk about today are business trips. Okay, we're going to talk about holidays and travel and trip y la diferencia in English between the different concepts and cómo sobrevivir, how to survive in English. Because many of us, when we travel abroad, you know, here in Spain, my Spanish, of course, is a desastre. But in Spain, I am the giddy. And when you go to London or New York or Auckland, where I'm from, yeah, you guys are the giddy, of course. You have to understand that it's completely different when we travel. So what we're going to do today is look at English and help you understand better, understand, of course, and speak, find the good ways to speak when we talk in English abroad. Okay, my name is Matías, as I said, and I will be asking you questions. Voy a dejar un sitio luego para preguntar si alguien tiene una pregunta. So there will be a time and a place later for questions, okay? I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to start my class right now. Let's go to the first slide. Okay, well, people, travel. We say that travel is the only thing that makes you richer. That's a typical saying. Except, of course, business trips, because business trips, they don't make you richer. They make your company richer, right? Right? So this is the place where we're going to start. We're going to start talking in a moment about business trips. The structure of today's presentation is as follows. We're going to be looking a little bit at grammar, to be or not to be, the typical question, right? We're going to be studying specifically today the present continuous and why and how the present continuous is a problem for many of you when you speak in English, and why that is relevant in business traveling and business trips. We'll also be studying the difference in the vocabulary, trip, travel, journey, holidays. What is the difference, right? And that's what we'll be looking at second. We're going to be studying airport language, the vocabulary that you need at the airport, right? And we'll also be looking at the vocabulary connected to airplanes. Of course, once you get through the airport, you need to get onto the airplane and how to survive there. Finally, we'll be talking about what happens when you arrive, maybe some transportation tips and hotel situations that you might face when you get there. Okay, so let's start with the fun part. I hope all of you have had a coffee, because we're talking about grammar. Empezamos con grammar, gramática, the favorite that everybody loves. So, the present. The present is a present, right? Present, presente, regalo, it's the same thing, present in English. But we are looking here at a problem between the present simple and the present continuous. So what is the difference? In a moment, we will study how to make it. Okay, that's the next slide. But the difference is simple. The difference is the present simple is used for general truths or facts. And as you can see, habits and routines. The present continuous is what you use when you speak right now, or perhaps even for future plans or things that you want to think about in the future. And you go, yeah, I know this. Yeah, that's the same. Yeah, of course. No. Wait, really think about this. When you are studying the present, many of you, I'm sure, you have studied the present like a list, right? You study the verb tenses and you memorize it when you're in school and you repeat and you repeat and you know what it is, but do you know how to use it? If you don't know how to use it, you're going to sound very, very funny. When we did our last class together, you know that there are a lot of problems that can happen when you make mistakes. Muchos problemas. Muchos, muchos problemas you can have when you make a mistake. For example, if you say in the present simple, I go to the bathroom. First of all, the bathroom, first of all, we don't want to talk about the bathroom, if you can avoid it. But if you have to say to somebody, I have to go to the bathroom, we would not use the present simple. In Spanish, you use the present simple. Voy al baño. You say, the present simple. In English, if you say, I go to the bathroom, the literal translation, you are saying something that is a general truth or perhaps a routine. Are you sharing with people that every day at 5:11 you go to the bathroom? Good for you, right? Bien hecho. So, this is not something we normally share with people, okay? So you don't want to be saying things in the present simple as much. In Spanish, you use the present simple a lot. Okay, another example. In Spanish, en castellano, right, en español, you say, for example, you're on the phone, right? You're on the phone with someone and you say, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I have to go to English class. Of course. Te llamo más tarde. I call you later. I'm sorry. I call you later. No. Of course you don't say, I call you later. That is not English. That is Spanglish. And Spanglish is the devil. Okay. We don't want to speak Spanglish. I call you later is wrong. Yes, but in Spanish, it's correct. I know. What we have to understand when we study verb tenses is that the verb tenses are not symmetrical. So it's not because in present simple in Spanish, we use one sentence that same sentence is used in the present simple in English. Of course not. So if I say, I call you later in Spanish, or te llamo más tarde in Spanish, in English would say, I will call you later. Ah, yes, of course. Now, of course, we understand this. I will the future. Today, we're not looking at the future. Today, we're looking at the present continuous. But we study the present continuous in comparison with the present simple. Both are present. The present simple is the structure that we learn in the first syllable, right? But the I am, I go, I do, I have, simple. The present continuous for actions happening right now, right? I am teaching. I am working. You are listening. You are paying attention. I hope. Yeah? But also for future plans and arrangements. Future plans and arrangements, the present continuous. Not the present simple. The future plans and arrangements in the present continuous. Yeah. For example, if you want to say next year, I am getting married. Yeah. El año siguiente. Yeah. Te vas a casar. Okay, perfect. Yeah. Me caso. In Spanish, you can use in a different verb tense, but in English, we use the present continuous. I am going, or I'm getting married. You can also say in the future, I'm going to get married. But if you say I am getting married, the present continuous here, you say it because you think it's more certain. Okay, so the present continuous used because you believe the probability is higher when you use this than maybe the simple future. Final point, of course, the present simple. In Spanish, because you don't use it, use the present simple for everything, right? In English, we do not. We use the present simple for general truths or facts. So what does that mean? Okay, well, I can say, I am a man. Yeah, I'm a man. I have a home in Spain. A general truth, a general fact. I wake up every day, routine or habit. I wake up every day at 8:00. Yeah. I teach my students from 9 till 7 or from 9 till 5. So we know that the routine is what we use the present simple for. Everything else, we use the present continuous. I am doing, I am having. Consider this. In Spanish, if you are curious, you say, oh, ¿qué haces? Yeah, well, what? And then the question is in Spanish, what do you do? or what are you doing? Ah, oh, yeah, of course. That's a different question, of course. Yeah, exactly. If you say, what do you do as a translation? A great question, but not the correct question. ¿Qué haces? What do you do? Correct translation. Google is perfect. What do you do refers to, of course, ¿qué, a qué te dedicas? What do you do is your job, not ¿qué haces ahora? In Spanish, when you say the question ¿qué haces?, you mean normally you always have to ask ahora or en general. You need to specify in Spanish. In English, that's not necessary. The present simple is for the job. That's in general, right? Routine. What do you do? I'm a teacher. What do you do? Oh, I'm an engineer. I work in human resources. I'm a manager. Fantastic. What do you do? What are you doing? Of course, is right now. Oh, I am attending a class. I am listening to my teacher. I am learning something. Maybe. I don't know. I hope. So present simple, present continuous. Very different. Okay. Let's look at the structure of how to make this. Okay. But wait, Matt, listen. What about exceptions? Ah, I knew it. I knew that Spanish, you know there are exceptions. In Spanish, there are a lot of exceptions, but in English, I think even more so. Exceptions. We're going to be talking for a moment about the stative verbs. The stative, the stative, you can call it whatever you want. That's a very technical name. What does that mean? Stative verbs, as you can see here on the slide, are the verbs of thinking and feeling. Right. Why are we talking about those? Because you don't want to be too funny. When you are traveling and you are speaking in English, you do not want to sound like an idiot. Of course not. When you use the continuous with stative verbs, that's a problem. The meaning changes and we will misunderstand you. So what are stative verbs? Okay. For example, I believe. A verb of feeling, right? The head of feeling. I believe. Okay. I believe. I love. Another one. And when we say I believe, I can ask you, do you believe? And then you can ask a question. Yeah. ¿Crees? Believe. Do you believe in God? Yeah? ¿Crees en Dios? Do you believe, in your country? Do you believe in the tooth fairy? And you think of the tooth fairy? Fiery, fiery, como from the clean the soap or what? Fiery, no. Tooth fairy. Tooth fairy in English is ratoncito Pérez, right? So we say the tooth fairy in English. So I can ask you, do you believe in the tooth fairy? And maybe you say yes, maybe you say no, maybe you say when I was younger, perhaps. But the point is, I ask, do you believe, not are you believing? And if you answer, you don't say, I am believing. Nope. I believe or I don't believe. Not in the middle. Okay. The same thing is true with no. Right. I can ask you a question. Hey, do you know English? And you will say yes. Yes, of course I know English. I am fluent. No problem. Great. Not are you knowing? Do you know English? Right. Of course. What about loving? And McDonald's, right? I hope you have eaten lunch because I don't want to make anybody hungry with this picture here. But I'm using McDonald's and no, I'm not getting paid by McDonald's. This is not an ad. But when we say in McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Yeah, that's the slogan of the company. And I said to you, I'm loving it is not possible. Why does McDonald's say I'm loving it? Good question. Well, the answer is simple, because it's wrong. For a company like McDonald's, a slogan, when it's wrong, sounds more interesting. Of course, native speakers in the US, in the UK, in Australia, they understand and they know that's wrong. And because it's wrong, it is catchy. Yeah. Catchy means that we have it in our head. Yeah, it's easy to remember. Catchy. So I'm loving it. It's a catchy slogan, but it's wrong, which means McDonald's is responsible for spreading bad grammar around the world. With every Big Mac they serve bad grammar. And yeah, I know, but you guys don't know. Which means when you make a mistake, it sounds very funny. Yes? I am loving this weather. No, I love this weather. I am loving this book. Nope. You are not loving anything. You love or you don't love. Not you are loving. That is grammatically incorrect. And you say, but what does it matter? What does it matter, you ask? Imagine the situation. You are on a business trip, because today we are traveling. Right? You are on a business trip, estás de viaje, and you are speaking to a colleague. Right? Okay, yeah, to a colleague, a new friend, a new colleague, an acquaintance. And you said, I am seeing, yeah, so I am seeing. But of course, you know, see. Oh no, see is a stative verb. Yeah, okay, stative verb. Not seeing, but you make a mistake. Yeah. As is el error, you say, oh, I am seeing, not I am seeing. But you say, I am seeing your wife after work today. What? If you say, I am seeing, that is incorrect. Of course it is. I see your wife every day after work. Okay, yeah, hello, Mrs. Whatever. But not I am seeing. Why not? Because I am seeing is something very different. When you are seeing someone, that means you are having sexy time. Yeah. So you don't want to be confusing anybody. If you say you are seeing someone, that means you are in a physical relationship with someone. So please, please, please be very careful. An easy mistake to avoid, right? So you see someone, not you are seeing them. In this case, the continuous use of the verb is in fact wrong. It has a different meaning. Yeah. So going back, stative verbs. Stative verbs are verbs that we do not use with the continuous. Okay? Stative verbs son verbos que no se usan con el continuo. So progresivo, if you prefer. In Spanish, I think you say the progresivo. Not with the presente progresivo, the pasado progresivo, but no progressive, no continuous verb tense at all. Today, we are reviewing the present continuous, but it's the same with the past continuous and with the future continuous, okay? No continuous and the stative, never together. All right, exceptions. And then some people say, but Matt, how do I know that it's a stative verb or not? You study, okay? This lesson is not focused on stative verbs, but if you go online and you type in stative verbs in Google, you will find a lot of lists. It's like the list of the verb tenses. You should know it, okay? Most of the verbs are to do with thinking and feeling. So I'm loving it is wrong. Finally, there's one super special verb that is have. Have is super special because it has many meanings, yeah? Have is difficult because have is the meaning of tener and tomar and also haber. So three different meanings, really. We're focusing on tener and tomar today. When have means tener, it is a stative verb, meaning you cannot use it with the continuous verb tenses. Okay? When it is tomar, then it's not a stative verb. Then you can use it with a continuous. So, for example, estoy tomando un café. I am having a coffee. It's correct. Right? I'm having a coffee. But if I say, I am having a car, I am having a car. No, not correct. I have a car or I don't have a car. Not I am having a car. Right? Be careful. Once again, it can be very funny. Of course, I can speak about, you know, what you were saying here in front of you, what you're seeing, the Big Mac. I am having a burger for lunch. Perfect. Bon appetit. But when you say, I am having a dog. Oh my gosh. Right? What? Yeah. It's a beagle. It's beautiful. It's really, oh my gosh. It's terrible. You are having a dog? Oh, no. I mean, I have a dog. Right? Because if you say you are having a dog, that means you are eating the dog. Terrible. Right? It may be in some parts of the country, maybe not in Spain, but in some parts of the world, sorry, they eat dogs. But here in Spain, we love dogs as pets. Please don't say that you are having a dog. you have a dog. Okay, easy mistakes to avoid. When you use the present simple, you use it for routines and habits. When you are using the present continuous, you do so because you are explaining an action in the present or something in the future. Now, how do you make it? Oh, that's easy. That's the stuff that you guys know. Es muy fácil, lo sabes, yeah. I know this, that you know this. But we're going to review. In the affirmative structure, right, you have the subject, of course, right? Subject and the verb to be in the present tense and the present participle, to be, right? I am, you are, he is, or she is, or it is. We are, you are, and they are. Okay, very easy. And then you use the present participle, doing, walking, speaking. I am doing, I am walking, I'm speaking. I am sitting, you are listening. Okay, nice and easy. What about the negative? How do you make the negative? Well, also very easy. We can use the negative with not. Okay, not don't, not. I am not sleeping. Of course not. Yeah, I know, it's 5 o'clock, it's 5:30, and all of you guys are probably in your computer, you know, just dozing away. But no, you are not sleeping, and you are definitely not checking your phone, right? Right. We can say the not between the subject, right, and the verb to be. Now, we're going to be looking here at the next one. Contractions and the questions. Huh. How do you make a question? Good question. In Spanish, the questions is very easy. In Spanish, if I want to make a question, you ask the question with a question mark, right? It's very easy. Soy feliz? Soy feliz? If you inflect your voice, you make a question in Spanish. I love Spanish. It's so logical sometimes. In English, it's more difficult. Because we cannot just inflect our voice. I cannot say, I am happy. Well, no. I am happy. Affirmative. If I want to make the question, I have to change the order. I put the verb to be first and then the subject. Am I happy? Are you listening? Is he paying attention? I don't know. I hope he is paying attention. Okay. So we change the structure. We put the subject and the verb to be in a different format. Okay? Different order. Are you? We don't change anything else, of course. All right. So if we make a question, it's not difficult. We only have to remember to invert. And for the present continuous, it's simple. You just need to know the verb to be and the present participle. And you know the verb to be. I know you know the verb to be. Okay. Final point, contractions. Oh, contractions, what are contractions? Contractions are what happens when we put words together. And in English, we put a lot of words together. A lot, okay? Yeah, so, for example, I am. We don't say I am. Why not? Because I don't sound like a robot. When we normally speak, we always contract. So we say, yes. Well, I want to be formal. If I want to speak formally, can I use no contraction? Do I have to contract or not? Good question. If you are speaking formally or informally, you always, always, always contract. Okay? Lo voy a decir en español también. If, cuando hablas, formally or informally, formalmente o no, siempre tienes que hacer contract. Why? Because that is the normal way of speaking. Eso es la forma normal. Y da igual si es formal o no. Okay? Very important. If you don't contract, you are going to sound like a robot. Okay? So make sure you try to contract. It's not difficult. I am, I'm. He is, he's. Aren't they? Aren't, yeah. Are they not? So we put the nt there. They aren't, right? I know many Spanish people don't like contractions. It's difficult to understand. That's okay. But the point is, if you don't practice with contractions, you will never use them. It is your responsibility to practice and to use them, okay? we need to try and practice as much as possible. I know you can do it, okay? And remember, native speakers in business meetings, in the bar, in a formal context, doesn't matter. With your parents, you always contract. If you do not contract, you are going to sound very funny. Funny? Yeah. I maybe you don't know the show, but The Big Bang Theory is very famous in Spain too. There is a character called Sheldon Cooper. If you don't contract, you will sound like Sheldon Cooper. A little bit weird. Un poco raro. Yeah? Okay. So it's up to you to not sound strange. Okay? So think about it. Do you generally contract or not? That's a good question. Please keep that in mind. Okay. Okay. So let's go. All right. How do we make the present participle? Remember, what is the present participle? Well, the present participle, of course, refers to, right? Remember, the something plus the ing. Algo más el ing. And for some verbs, it's very easy. Yeah, walk. Yeah. Ah, nice and easy. Yeah. Walk, walking. How do I make that? Just add ing. Why? Because walk, yeah, walk, walk, walk. The last letter is a consonant. And with the consonant, bam, you add ing, walking. Okay, great. But it's not always the same. What happens if you have a vowel, not a consonant? If it's a vowel and the vowel is E, the letter E from email, not E, E, then we eliminate the E, we eliminate, borramos la E, we eliminate the E, and we replace it with the ING. Okay, so can we think of a word? Yeah, of course. Of course we can. There's lots of words with E. Okay, I hope, I am hoping. Yeah, hoping is the correct word to say. We don't say hope and then an E, ING. No, we eliminate the E, hoping. Okay, nice. Okay. All right. Good. What about the other rule? Ends in a con, vau, con? What's a co, vau, con? That sounds like a Chinese action movie. Con, vau, con. Con, vau, con means consonant, vowel, consonant. O sea, algo que termina en consonante, vocal, consonante. Vowel, vocal, right? For example, the word that you see on the slide, run. Run, as you say in Spanglish. And we don't want Spanglish, okay? Run, we say. Oh, run. Yeah, of course. Because I cannot add ing. No se puede añadir ing. Why not? Well. If you add the ing to run, you need to double. Hay que doblar. You need to double the N. Why? If you do not, it's going to sound different. If you don't double the N, it's going to sound like running. Maybe to you that sounds correct. It's very funny. But no, in fact, we don't say running. We say running. Okay? So, if I want to say she's running late, hurry. I don't say she's running late. She's running late. So, if a verb or end in a consonant and a vowel and then a consonant, we double the last consonant. Okay? Swim, swimming, double M. Right? Okay. Not swimming. Okay. And last but not least, what happens if it adds, if it ends in a Y? Well, then we replace it. We replace the Y with an ING. No, sorry. We replace the whole structure. Not replace. We add the ing. It's the same thing as what we do with the consonant. Okay. When you have an I, a Y at the end, we add an ing. When you have an E at the end, you replace it. And when you have a Y, you add it. What's a word that ends in Y? There's lots of words, right? Words like worry. I worry about something. Yeah. Or she is worrying about something. Worrying, the Y plus the ing. Okay? Great stuff. Okay, I hope there are no questions so far, because a lot of what I have said so far is, of course, basic information. But we need to review the basics when we go on holiday so that we don't make mistakes with the basics. We don't like mistakes. So what we're going to do now is we're going to be looking at some continuous tenses. Ooh, adverbs. Adverbs. What are adverbials of time? I guess that's all. Well, adverbials is another way of saying adverbs. Expressions that work like adverbs. Right? Adverbios de tiempo. Now, some of these adverbs are similar to Spanish. Some of them are different. But most importantly, the rules are different. Yeah? Yeah, let's have a look. When I look at the sentence now, okay? Ahora. Ahora mismo. Yeah? I am teaching a class now. Of course. When? I'm teaching a class right now. That's what I'm doing. We would use, with the word now, we use the present continuous, right? In Spanish, ahora estoy enseñando una clase. Estoy dando una clase. Okay. The structure of I am teaching here, as you can see, is contracted. If you want to, you could say the same thing. You could say, I am teaching, but that's very formal. Too formal to say. Okay. Nowadays. Nowadays. What does that mean? Hoy en día. Okay. So it's similar to now, but it's not quite the same. Nowadays. Hoy en día. Nowadays, I am practicing my English skills. Hey, very good. Yeah, nowadays you are practicing your English skills. That's fantastic. Good for you. Okay. Now, hoy en día estoy practicando, mi inglés. Okay. In English, you need to use with nowadays always, always, always the present continuous. At this time. At this time, I am listening to music. En este momento. Oh, but what about at the moment? Yeah, it's the same. At this time, at the moment, is the same in English. Okay? I am working at the moment. If my friend calls me, I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I am working at the moment. Can I call you back? Okay. At this time, ahora mismo, en este momento, estoy escuchando música. In English, escuchando a música. I'm listening to music. Be careful, right? I am working at the moment. Estoy trabajando en este momento. Can I call you back? ¿Te puedo llamar luego, más tarde? Okay. I am working. Not I work. Also, not in the moment or on the moment. Terrible. That's Spanglish total. Okay. We don't say that. We say at the moment. All right. Good. Temporarily. Ooh, that's difficult to say. Temporarily. No. Temporarily. Yeah, you might want to practice at home. Temporarily. I am living at my mother-in-law's house temporarily. Ojalá, I hope, yeah. I'm living at my mother-in-law's house temporarily. Estoy viviendo en la casa de mi suegra. Temporalmente, yeah. In English, right, temporarily is an adverb that is always used with the present continuous. I hope that you don't have to live with your mother-in-laws. But that's a personal thing. For the time being. Oh, yeah. For the time being. Ahora mismo. The same thing, right? For the time being, we are trying to focus on the project. Not we try to focus. We are trying to focus on the project. Focus in? No. On. Focus on the project. Right? Or last, I can see currently, I am having a coffee. Yeah? What would you like? So, when I say that currently, we remember in a previous class that we don't say actually. Actually, Spanglish. Right? Remember this. When we did the lesson 2 weeks ago, we studied currently and actually is not the same thing, right? Actually is a different meaning. Currently is ahora mismo, right? Actualmente, not actually. Actually is de hecho, en realidad. So, Currently, I am having a coffee. Actualmente estoy tomando un café. What would you like? Right? Careful, careful, careful. Exceptions. Yeah, careful with the exceptions. Of course, if you are using these continuous adverbs of time, the rule with the stative verbs is still correct. The stative verbs never with the continuous. So it doesn't matter if you use a continuous adverbial of time, it's the same. Wow, that's a lot of information we have just reviewed, a lot. So, in summary, the present continuous, the present simple. Present simple for routine and truth, habits. The present continuous is used for actions now and, of course, also for the idea of the future. We can also use the adverbs of time that we see here with the present continuous. And, of course, there are the exceptions of the stative verbs. Whew, that's a lot of information. That's a lot of information. Don't worry. Now we're going to do a little practice test. Vamos a hacer un pequeño sondeo para ver quién, to see who has been paying attention. Sondeo time. Okay, so, Ichi, vamos a hacer sondeo primero, ahora.
Perfecto, pues vamos aquí a por el primer sondeito, que dice así: ¿cuál de las siguientes afirmaciones significa actualmente trabajo como enfermera?
And the answers are A, I am actually working as a nurse. B, nowadays I am working as a nurse. C, usually I am working as a nurse. Or D, I am a nurse. Let's see what you guys do. A ver qué dice.
A ver, que están aquí votando rápido, rápido. Parece que hay una clara ganadora. Vamos a ver. Dejamos un minutito, que hay gente que todavía que se lo está pensando. Y llegamos al minuto y cerramos el sondeito. Vamos a ver. Ahí. Sí, sí, sí. Matías, hay una clara ganadora.
Ah, muy bien, me alegra.
Bueno, cierro el sondeito, no vaya a ser que tengamos sorpresas y comparto los resultados. Mira, la primera opción la ha elegido un 7%, la segunda opción un 80%, la tercera opción un 10% y la última opción un 3%.
Okay, okay, that's not so bad, no tan mal. The correct answer was B, now or B. Nowadays, I am working as a nurse. Okay, be careful, everybody. The ones who did it right, good job. Everybody else, you need to review. Hay que revisar un poquito más. Okay, good. Voy a compartir otra vez. One moment. Un momento. Like this. Okay. Let's go to the next one. So, travel, trip, or journey? Oh, man. Everybody knows Journey is a band. So that's easy, right? Journey, that's the music from the 80s. That's one way of differentiating. But when we are on business, we need to understand what that actually means, right? We need to understand that there's a very big difference, between trip, travel, and journey. Okay. What is the difference? Well, that's what we're going to be studying today. One of them has a meaning for everything. Some of them have a specific meaning. Some of them are verbs only. Let's look at these together. Okay. A trip. That's the first part. Trip is the one that everybody knows. When you do trip, right? When you go on a trip, or we can say we take a trip, you can do a trip. Yeah, you can do a trip. Se puede hacer, un trip, but normally we like go and take, okay? We call those co-locations. Co-locations. ¿Qué estamos diciendo? Co-location. What is a co-location? Co-locations in English. Co-locations refers to, right, the idea of Mary and Christmas. Merry Christmas? What are we talking about? All right, I will explain. When you say in English, go on a trip or take a trip, that is a collocation. Words that generally go together. Okay. For example, when we say in English, Merry Christmas, that is a collocation. You say, bah, that's the same. No, that's not the same. It is the same. Think about it. When you say Merry Christmas, that's correct. When you say Happy New Year, that is correct. But when you say Merry New Year, Merry Birthday. Hey, Merry Birthday. Merry Birthday, Keba. No, of course not. Why can I say Merry Christmas, but I cannot say Merry Birthday or Merry New Year? That's a good question. Why? Okay, well, because I will give you the answer. When you say in English, Merry Christmas, Merry collocates with Christmas. Now, Merry is the same meaning as happy. Merry and happy are the same thing, the same. Okay. But when we speak, we know that Merry is a word that collocates, joins together with Christmas. That's a natural collocation. So how do you know if it's a collocation or not? You study. Are there any rules that say this is a collocation, this is not? Yeah, you can study certain collocations, but there is not one general rule that teaches you when it's a collocation and when it's not. So the best thing is to learn with the correct verb. In this case, to go on a trip, to take a trip. Okay, so going now into what we're seeing here, right? So to go somewhere. When we say a trip, we go somewhere. Now, a trip doesn't have to be business, right? It could be for business, could be for pleasure. And the idea of a trip is you go there and you come back. A trip is never only one way. A trip is always there and back, okay? The other difference is that a trip is normally used to be, is normally meant to be short, okay? So when you go away for 5 months, you are not speaking, you're not doing a trip. You're not going on a trip. You are going on a holiday or an extended staycation or something. But usually a trip is short. Okay. It works as well with business, a business trip, a weekend trip, a getaway trip, a city trip. Right. Now, many of you may have used the website TripAdvisor. Right? TripAdvisor. Of course. TripAdvisor is the advisor for your trips. So not Travel Advisor or Journey Advisor. You see, Trip Advisor. Okay, now, trip is a noun. I cannot say I trip, you trip. In fact, the problem is you can say that, but when you say trip, the meaning is slightly different. Trip for us refers to what happens when you accidentally, yeah, you catch yourself and you fall. Right. Oh, what happened? Oh, no, sorry. I tripped. So trip is not the verb that you want to use. It means something completely different. Okay. So we go on a trip. We go on a weekend trip. We go on a business trip. And I'm speaking about trips right now. But I know many of you probably haven't taken a trip in a long time. The pandemic, the COVID situation has prevented many of us at least from taking trips, right? In the past, maybe we enjoy traveling more than we can now. So to go on a trip. Now, let's look at the next one. We have trip, and we also, of course, have, where is it here? Yeah. A round trip. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A round trip ticket is what you use if you have a ticket for going and coming back, right? So if you travel to certain countries, for example, from Spain to the United States, and you go on holiday, right? Say, oh, perfect, yeah, to Disney World. Oh, I love Disney World. Amazing, right? Or to New York, or to Miami. But in Miami, you don't need English, right? Miami, Spanish is enough, so you don't need English. But if you go to Miami, even if you go to Miami, or New York, or California for Disney World, you need to speak English when you arrive, right? When you get to the customs, which we are going to talk about in a moment, okay? And then they will ask you, do you have a round ticket? Do you have a round trip ticket? Do you have a return ticket? And you can say, yes, I have a round trip ticket. I have a ticket to go back home because they are worried that you will stay. So maybe when you arrive, you will need to show your round trip ticket, your return. Round trip. Okay. There and back. Okay. Another alternative is, of course, if you're a one-way ticket, but usually they're a lot more expensive. So if you buy a one-way ticket, that's not a good idea most of the time, right? But if you want to, you could. And maybe you are buying a one-way ticket from Madrid to Barcelona and you are thinking of taking the train back. Okay, why not? A one-way ticket. Round trip, one way. All right. Whew. Okay, trips are for there and back. That's why a one-way ticket is not a trip. A one-way ticket is something else. Yeah, of course. Now, we have here the verb. The verb is travel. Travel, in fact, is the verb and the noun. Yeah, travel is a great word. To travel, I travel, you travel. I can use it with, of course, the present continuous. I am traveling. Oh, you are traveling. Ah, awesome. Where are you traveling to? I am traveling to Thailand. I am traveling to Australia. I'm traveling to Paris. Oh, okay, nice. Traveling to. Now, we use traveling as a verb to describe, okay, something. You describe the act. If it is a verb, it's used to describe going somewhere. And if it's a noun, we use it to describe the act. Okay, so for example, if you see here the sentence, travel in that region of the world is dangerous. Yeah, travel in that region of the world is dangerous. For example, at the moment, right, traveling in Ukraine is dangerous. Traveling in Russia is dangerous, of course. So travel in Ukraine, travel in Russia is dangerous. Not only there. There are many parts of the world, as I'm sure you know, that it's dangerous to travel. That travel is discouraged. Okay? So, travel could be the verb viajar and the noun el viaje. Okay? So, it could be both. Travel could be more than one thing. All right? So, travel. I traveled. And then people say, wait, Matt, how do I write that? Travel. Is it with, yeah, okay, easy. T-R-A-V-L. Oh, okay. But what about the continuous? Is it with one L or two L's? Is it traveling with a double L, double L, or no? Oh, that's a good question. In fact, both answers are correct. Yeah. Travel if you write it with one L is correct. Travel if you write it with two L's is also correct. It depends if you are using British English or American English. Huh. That's amazing. That's a great tip. So we say travel is used as the noun. Travel is used as the act. And traveling, of course, is the gerund, which can also be used as a noun. Right? Many people love traveling. I hope you guys like traveling. I love traveling. I mean, it's one of my favorite things. Right? So in a moment, when we finish with one more part, I'm going to ask some questions and I want to volunteer. Not yet. Todavía no. Pero en un momento, okay? Voy a preguntar a un voluntario, pero en un momento, no ahora mismo. Okay? Not yet. Okay. So think about what you can say if you want to talk to me about traveling. All right? That's coming up. But first, we're going to look at the last slide. Journey. Yeah, like I said, journey, of course, is the band, right? A very good band, lots of good songs from the 80s, sure. But journey also refers to the act of traveling, and typically it refers to one way, okay? So journey is what we will ask, what we will speak about when, okay, if you travel from here to London, or from here to New York, and from New York to here, it's a trip. And you come back from New York, maybe your family is waiting for you at the airport and they'll ask you, hey, how was the journey? Yeah, ¿qué tal el viaje? The journey, because in that case, from New York to here was one part. That is a journey. So a trip are two journeys, the journey to New York and the journey from New York, right? The trip, the whole thing, the journey, the small part. But if your family in Barajas, for example, asks you, hey, how was the journey? You will be very confused. It's like, I was in New York for 7 days. Why is my family speaking English? What is happening? So normally speaking, I don't think they will ask you how the journey was. But in English, that is what they would ask you. Okay? How was the journey? Okay. Now, the journey could also refer to a metaphor, right? The journey is long. It could refer to our lifetime. It could refer to, right, the different steps that you take in life, right? And we even say it as an expression. Now, for example, life is a journey. Or, wow, at the moment, it's the 10th of March. I'm thinking about, I think the pandemic started about 2 years ago. It has been quite a journey. Right, it's been quite a journey indeed. The last 2 years, it has been a journey. Okay, ha sido un viaje. But in this case, it doesn't have to be a good journey. A journey is just a one-way trip. Okay, so travel is the verb. It can also be the noun. Trip is what we refer to when we go there and we come back for short things. And then, of course, we have journey for the one-way. What about holidays? Because everyone loves holidays. I love to go on holidays. My holidays are coming up in July and maybe in August. I don't know. But holidays isn't the same as travel, right? When we are on holidays, you can go and you can go on a trip. But not everyone that is on holidays goes on a trip. Some people choose to stay home, right? So holidays is the period that we have that we don't have to work. And the trip that we take, or the journey that we go on, more epic, more poetic, is what we do if we want to travel somewhere. Oh man, that's a lot of interesting vocabulary here. Right now, I'm going to ask for a volunteer. Okay, now, voy a preguntar por un voluntario. I am asking if anyone wants to tell me, have a little conversation with me, 2 minutes. Not too much. Solamente dos minutos. I'm going to ask a few questions about your favorite trip or your favorite holiday, your favorite travel, okay? The area that you have been to, why it was so special, okay? I'm asking for un voluntario. ¿Quién quiere hablar conmigo sobre su preferido viaje, el mejor viaje que ha hecho? It could be ahora o en el pasado, okay? Using the vocabulary. ¿Tenemos voluntarios, Itzi?
Pues vamos a ver si se nos anima alguien aquí pulsando el simbolito de la mano. A ver, ¿quién quiere irse de viaje con Matías? Vamos a ver, ¿alguien? A ver, que ya tengo una manita levantada, vamos a ver. Tengo aquí a Mari Carmen, voy a activarle el sonido. Hola Carmen, ¿qué tal?
¿Sí puedes estar?
Hello.
Hola. Hello. Hi, Mari Carmen, nice to meet you.
Me too. It's a pleasure. Sorry for my English because I'm very rusty, but well, I'll try to.
I understand you very well. Okay. Tell me, Mari Carmen, where did you travel to? What was the best trip that you have ever been on?
Yes, I think my best travel it was 5 years ago. Before COVID, we traveling to New York. I like a lot because it's a iconic city. People of my age, it's iconic. Appear in a lot of films and something like that.
Okay, good. And all right, I have a few questions. Did you travel alone or did you travel with other people?
No, I traveled with my partner, colleague.
Okay, very good. Okay. And how long was the total trip?
Yeah, it takes more or less 15 days.
Okay. That's a nice long journey in New York. 15 days. Oh, yeah. That's a good trip, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And How long was the trip? How long was the journey? Not the trip, sorry, the journey from Madrid to JFK or to the airport that you landed at?
Also, yes, I think it took us 8 hours, something like that, more or less. For us, much more, because we are from Ponferrada in the northwest of Spain.
Okay, so you're calling us from, yeah, okay, so you have to go from Ponferrada to Madrid. That was one journey, and then from Madrid, another journey to New York. Well, did you go somewhere else? Did you have a journey with a stopover maybe in Paris or in London? Or did you fly directly?
No. We flight direct. Sorry. Yeah. Good. Our flight was direct.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Be careful not fly, because in the past we say flew.
Sorry.
Of course. I know. But when you speak, yeah, it's different. Don't worry. This is great. I love it. Okay, good. All right. Last question for you, Marika. What is your dream trip? The one that you dream about?
When finish the COVID nightmare, I like to travel probably to Canada.
Oh, another good one. Okay. Well, I hope that trip to Canada becomes a fantastic success, and hopefully soon. Okay, Megan, do you have any questions for me? Otherwise, I will ask a different volunteer.
No, thank you. And I like a lot your classes.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm very happy to have you here with us today. Fantastic. Great job, Maria Carmen. And I would like to invite, voy a preguntar si hay otro voluntario que quiere presentarse, to have a little chat right now.
Pues vamos a ver si hay alguien más. Tito. Pues si te parece, porque no veo más manitas levantadas, solo la de Mari Carmen.
Es okay. Si no tenemos más, no pasa nada. Vamos al siguiente.
Vale.
No pasa nada. Ok. De hecho, no vamos al siguiente. No. Vamos al sondeo, al siguiente sondeo. Ok. So, el siguiente sondeo, hay dos que vamos a hacer, ¿sí?
Perfecto.
Ok.
Pues vamos a por el segundo. ¿Cuál es la palabra correcta en esta frase? Ahí si la quieres leer, por favor.
Ok, of course. I don't like to alone. It's more fun to go with a friend. And is it A, trip, B, travel, or C, journey? A, trip. B, travel, or C, journey. All right. Let's see what you guys have.
Bueno, ahora mismo hay un 100% en una, Matías.
Oh,
ahí,
that's
ya,
perfect.
¿Ves? Es que siempre que hablo ya se cambian los porcentajes. Me tenía que estar calladita. Bueno, vamos a ver. Ahí dejamos un minutito. Y esto ya sabéis que tiene que ser aquí rápido. Bueno, está la cosa bastante decantada por una, te lo tengo que decir. Vamos a cerrar el sondeito. Compartimos los resultados. Un 2% la opción A, un 98% la opción B y nadie ha querido la opción C.
Perfect. Okay. Muy bien. The correct option, of course, was la opción B, travel. Okay. Perfect. Almost everybody. Very good job. I like this. Everyone is awake. That's great. Okay. Good job, everybody. The next one. Tenemos uno más. Y el sondeo tres. ¿Y sí?
Pues vamos a poner el sondeo tres. Ahí lo tenemos. A ver esta frase. Si la quieres leer tú, por favor.
Okay, the phrase is, we took a 30-minute boat to the island. We took a 30-minute boat to the island. Trip, A, B, travel, C, journey, or D, voyage? Trip, travel, journey, or voyage? Oh, it's a bit more difficult. Un poco más difícil.
Sí, esta es la cosa un poco más ahí entre dos.
That's good, that's good, that's good.
Lo sabías, ¿verdad? Lo sabías.
Hay que hacer un poco de, más difícil, because otherwise, si no, todo el mundo. No, 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 no puede ser.
Pues vamos a dejar ahí. Las ganas del viaje lo tenemos, ¿eh? Nos da igual
Ah,
ya
sin
cómo
duda,
se
yeah,
diga,
of course,
pero.
por supuesto. No, no, no.
Y más si es ahí en una isla. Vamos a
Oh.
cerrar el sondeito. Muchas gracias por participar. Compartimos los resultados. Un 49% ha elegido la opción A, un 7% la opción B, un 37% la opción C y un 7% la opción D.
Okay. Interesante, very interesting. The correct answer was C, journey. What? Yeah, journey was the correct answer. Okay, people. So, we use the structure journey because trip is there and back. Yeah. So if you say a journey, it's one part. A trip is there and back. If it's a 30 minutes de aquí, ahí, that's a journey, not a trip. A trip is there and back. Okay? Journey and trip, return. Okay? If it's not a return, it's not a journey. Oh man, that's not easy, huh? Okay. So, review. Many of you did very, very good. We know that we have the travel is the verb. Could also be the noun. Trip is for a noun if we go somewhere and we come back, and journey is one way. Okay? From there to here or from here to there. Okay? Could be both. Okay, pues muy bien, seguimos. A ver, a ver, a ver. How do I click? Pum, 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 pum. Aquí. Okay, so let's continue with our traveling. Yes, with our trip, because we are going on a business trip. Yes. We're going on a trip, and of course, the first place most of us go to for a trip that we do abroad, right? Abroad, abroad is what? Abroad means to go somewhere outside Spain. So we have a number of stages. We book, we check in, we board, and then we take off. That's the airport stages, right? Booking.com is a very typical website where you can book a hotel. You can also book your flights there if you want it. You have a booking. You book a ticket in the beginning. Of course, after you have your ticket and your hotel, then you go to the airport, right? You are maybe a little bit nervous. And if you are like me, you will go many, many, many hours, yeah? Many hours before you have to go, yeah? 2, 3, 4 hours, just in case, right? To the airport. And you arrive at the airport, right? And then you have to drop off your luggage and to check in. Checking in is with your passport, right? You give your passport, and you give your information, and the man or the woman will check. Okay, yeah, very good, Matthias Verbeken. Yeah, okay, perfect. Click, and then they take your luggage, they weigh it, and they check your luggage. Not facturate. Yes, facturación, no. Check. They check your luggage. Okay. They check in your luggage is another way of saying the same thing. Okay. So drop off is dejar and check in is dejar and facturar. Okay. You check in the airport. Now it has been a long time for many people that they took a flight, that you went to the airport. But I took a flight almost in the middle of COVID. I took a flight. Last year I think it was in May, I took a flight for the first time after a long time of not flying, after 1 year of not flying. In May, I took a flight to see my brother and my sister. And I went to the airport. I went to the airport in Barajas, and it was a weekend. It was Saturday morning, and there was a man sitting at the entrance of the airport, and I had my luggage. And he asked me, what are you doing here? And I was so confused because it's like, well, I'm at the airport. Why do you think I am here? I'm not here, for anything except for my flight. And he was very suspicious. He checked my ticket, and it was not really security because it felt like an in-between. I think with COVID, so many things have changed. It was very strange. I needed to check in before checking in. But okay, then once you are through and you have checked in your luggage, you have to go, of course, and then you have to go to the security, right? You have to put your luggage, right, on the security belt, open all the liquids, take everything out, take off all your clothes. Well, not all your clothes, all right? But maybe you have to take out your jewelry, right, your earrings. You have to take out your money, all the details. You put it in the tray. The tray is the bandeja. And you put it in the tray. And then they're going to ask you the questions very quickly. Sorry, what? That's the question. They ask you, do you have any electronics? Because you have to take out your electronics, right, and put them out. Do you have any liquids? That's the other question. ¿Tiene algún cosa de electrónica, right? Móvil. Do you have any electronics? Do you have any liquids? ¿Tiene algún líquido? That's the other question that they will ask you. And they're always very quickly. Come on. Sometimes they will tell you to take off your shoes. Only your shoes. Okay. Or maybe they will ask you to take off your jacket. Take off is quitarse. Very important. Okay. Listen carefully. Okay. If they say take off your jacket, it's only the jacket. You don't have to take everything off. Okay. It's an airport, please. And then once you are through, you have to go. Yeah. You can come now and you go through. And hopefully, right? You didn't go dit, 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 because if you beeped, then they will check you. Yeah. And they will tell you, will you please come to stand over here? Right. And you go and stand over there and they run the scanner all over you, or maybe they touch your pockets. Right. And then, of course, they will, right, tell you to get your luggage. Or sometimes maybe something else happens. And we're going to look at that in a moment. Maybe sometimes they need to check your bag. Oof, that's a different problem. We will talk about that in a moment. Okay, now you are through security and you are walking, right? And you are looking all the shopping. And oh my gosh, that coffee, 10 euros for a coffee? Oh yeah, it's an airport, of course. In an airport, everything is very expensive. That's what they do. And when you are finished with your shopping and your flight is ready to leave, that's when the boarding starts. Boarding is the name that we give to the action of going onto the plane. Yeah. Not embarking. embarking is not what we say. We say boarding. Okay. So you board the plane typically in order. Yeah. First the expensive tickets and then the inexpensive tickets. That's what we're going to look at in a moment. The different classes, first class, business class. Are you a special Iberia Platinum Deluxe extra, blah, blah, blah? So, oh, yeah, you can go first. Okay. And then, of course, the normal people in the rows, in the different areas. So from 20 to 27, now you can board. You can show your ticket, your boarding pass, which is the pass that you get there, the boarding pass that you get embarcar. You show the ticket embarcar, the boarding pass, with your seat number on there and your name, and maybe you have to show your passport as well. Okay, well, and then you can go on the plane. You have to wait because, of course, there are people in front of you. You wait and you wait and you wait. It's very slow. And finally, you're in your seat. You fasten your seatbelt, yeah, and the plane can take off. Those are the different airport stages. Usually, nothing goes wrong. Usually. Because in the airport, there's a lot of vocabulary that we need to understand, right? We need to understand the difference between gate and lounge. Oh, so gate, lounge, oversized luggage and carry-on. The difference between a visa and a credit card. You think it's the same thing? Nope, it's not the same. Let's start with the obvious one. Gate and lounge. Okay. Like I said a moment ago, the boarding gate, right? The boarding gate is the place where you have to go to wait for your flight. 19A, 21A, because 18 is on the other side. It's a 19A, 21A, 23A, okay? And on the other side, it's 22A, 20A, 18A, the different gates, right, where the flights leave, okay? What about a lounge? Haha, a lounge could be a normal lounge or an executive lounge, right? They are the places where you will wait, maybe with a drink or maybe with your luggage, where sometimes if you are there 2 hours before the flight, dos horas antes del vuelo, I guess better, you have to wait. Where do you wait? In the lounge, where you have all the seats, right, all the asientos, waiting, sometimes with electricity, a plug. There are some TVs, there are some restaurants, and then you wait in the lounge. The executive lounges, or the business lounges, they are deluxe, perfect, amazing. In the executive lounges, the special Iberia lounge, or the Emirates lounge, or the American Airlines lounge, they have special areas for special customers. If you travel first class, right, and you have to wait, you can wait there. They have showers and they have beds and sometimes sofas and food, and it's very comfortable. Okay. If you ever have to stay in an airport for more than 3 or 4 hours, my recommendation is go to an airport lounge. You can buy a pass, not very expensive, maybe $40, $30. And if you wait 4 hours, that's a long time. So consider it, and you will be much more comfortable. It includes food. Usually it includes amenities. You can take a shower. You can freshen up. It's a lot nicer and it's quiet. You will appreciate it. Trust me. Okay, good. Gate where you leave, lounge where you wait. Oversized luggage. Luggage, baggage, bag. What's the difference? Luggage and baggage, equipaje. It's a noun and it's uncountable. Okay. I cannot say one luggage or two luggages or three luggage. No, luggage. One baggage is the same. We don't say one baggage or two baggage or three baggage. We say a piece of luggage, one item of luggage. Maybe the airline will say, okay, you can have one item of luggage per person. Or maybe if you fly with Ryanair, no luggage. If you want luggage, you have to pay extra, right? Okay. Luggage is a piece of baggage. Baggage and luggage is the same thing. Or one bag. It's the same thing. One bag, two bags, three bags. Bags is a countable noun. Okay. Carry-on. Carry-on are the small bags. I was looking if I have one here. I don't. Are the small bags a backpack or maybe a purse if you are a woman, or maybe a small suitcase, very, very small, okay, that you can take with you and you can store in the overhead compartments, not underneath, not when you check it in, no, that you can take on top with you in the aircraft. Okay. But they have to be small, the carry-on, because you need to be able to fit them in front of the seat in front of you, right? Sometimes there is no more room in the overhead bins. The overhead bins, yeah, that's the place where you stuff the luggage, right? So the overhead bins are the names for that. And sometimes there's no more space. And then you need to put the carry-on under the seat in front of you. Okay? So oversized luggage is the name that we give for the extra big pieces of luggage. Sometimes, for example, the baby stroller, yeah, the pram. Baby stroller? Yeah. If you have a baby, a young child, and you have the carrito, you have a baby stroller, right? A stroller in general. And the stroller, you cannot take it with you on the aircraft. They will say that's oversized luggage, extra special luggage that goes underneath. The tamaño especial, yeah? So oversized. Or maybe you are going on a ski holiday, right? To Switzerland or to Andorra, right? Or maybe you're going to the Rocky Mountains to ski. I don't know. It's amazing. Sounds great. Or to Canada, like Maya Carmen. And you want to bring your skis. Great. But they are too big. So they are oversized luggage. And usually there is a special place for that. Okay. Visa and credit card. pero Matías, ¿una visa no es un credit card? No. I don't mean the marca or the brand visa, no. A visa is something that you need in your passport sometimes if you go on business. What? Yeah. So a visa, visado in Spanish, is the thing that you need sometimes if you go to a country like China or Vietnam or a lot of other countries in the world. And if you want to go there as a business person, you need a special permission from the government to travel there. Necesitas un permiso especial. And ese permiso especial is the visado, the visa, not the visado. Visado is not English. It's Spanish. Visa. So when they ask you, do you have a visa? They are not asking you, do you have a credit card? Yeah. when you land and you say, do you have a visa? Well, actually, no, I think of MasterCard. No. That's not what they're asking. They're asking about the visado. Visa is the visado. Okay. The permission in your passport, okay, that you need to come in. Fortunately, here in Europe, tenemos mucha suerte. We are very lucky here in Europe because if we want to travel from Spain, from Madrid, where I live, to London or to Berlin, to Italy, you can travel without a visa for now, right? We don't need a visa. Maybe in the future for London, yes, but for now, not so much. Lots of vocabulary. Okay. Now, going back to checking in, there are a number of interesting questions that you need to know if they ask you. Because you can't say, no entiendo, I no understand. No. You need to make sure you understand these questions. These are very typical questions that someone will ask you when you check in. So, the first question, for example, how many passengers are checking in with you? Okay, how many passengers are checking in with you? Well, in this case, you can say, I am traveling alone. So the question is, ¿cuántos viajeros van a facturar con usted? Yeah, okay, se facturan con usted. Okay, normally you travel alone or with two people. Say, there are two of us, not we are two. We say, there are. I, dos de nosotros, there are two of us, or me and my wife, or me and my partner, or my colleagues and I, but never we are, okay? That's wrong. ¿Cuántos viajeros? Okay, important question. How many passengers are checking in with you? Just me, okay, perfect. Would you like to check any bags? Again, not would you like to facturate any bags? Not facturate, no, check. We check a bag, right? Facturate is Spanglish. Check a bag. Yes, I have one bag to check. Okay, and then you put it with her or with him. Okay, and maybe the next question is, do you have any carry-on luggage? Yeah. ¿Tiene algún equipaje de mano? Yeah, so equipaje de mano, that's the one that you're going to carry with you. Carry, llevar, with you on the airplane. Yeah, I have my backpack. Okay, and sometimes they will connect a little sticker or something to your bag to make sure that it's checked, that it's cleared. Okay, and then maybe you have some questions. Very important. Maybe you have some questions. And the questions you can ask are, what time does my flight leave? ¿A qué hora sale mi vuelo? Oh, yeah. Super important question, right? I hear something. Well, yeah. Oh, your flight leaves at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Oh, I have many hours. Oof. I have, it's 6 o'clock right now. So I have 10 more hours. That's crazy. Yeah, you're early. Good. And the last interesting question that maybe you want to know is, what is or where is my boarding gate? Remember, boarding gate is the place where you go onto the plane, where you board the plane. And they will say to you, well, your boarding gate is not announced yet. ¿Cómo que not announced yet? ¿Dónde está mi puerta de embarque? And maybe they will tell you not announced yet. If you arrive very early, like I do, 3 hours, okay, well, then it is possible that the boarding gate is not decided yet, todavía. So maybe you will have to wait in the lounge. Or maybe you will have to do duty-free shopping. Remember? Yeah, duty-free shopping. You'll have to go and buy something or walk around. And then you have to wait and see later. Or perhaps, quizás, if you are not too early, she says, okay, boarding gate is B7. Okay, B7. And then you have to go to boarding gate B7. Okay. How many passengers are they checking with you? Would you like to check any bags? Do you have any carry-on luggage? What time does my flight leave? And finally, what is my boarding gate? Or where is my boarding gate? It's possible as well. Phew. Okay. Now, vamos a hacer otro sondeo. I hope you are all still awake, right? I hope. Ojalá. Right? You are still awake with me. Okay. Y si vamos a hacer otro sondeo, el siguiente.
Venga, vamos a por el siguiente. Lo dices así con tanta energía, Matías, que es que dan ganas de aquí de votar ya. Vamos. Vamos a contestar al siguiente sondeo, que es cómo se dice puerta de embarque en inglés.
Okay. And there are four options. A, plane door. B, boarding gate. C, boarding entrance. Or D, ticket desk.
Pues a ver qué contestan. Está la cosa bastante, bastante decantada por una, ¿eh?
Muy bien.
Ya no te puedo That's decir 100% porque ya no, ya se ha roto el porcentaje, pero muy, 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 mucha gente por una sola. Vamos okay, a ver. Okay. Dejamos nada, unos segunditos más. Y cerramos el sondeito. Bueno, pues como te decía, aquí hay dos solo que han votado en este sentido. La A no la ha querido nadie, un 98% la B y un 2% la C. La D tampoco la ha escogido nadie.
Ok, muy bien. Ok, the correct answer, of course, was, yeah, as you all said, all of you, you know, the correct answer was B, boarding gate. Excellent, good thing. You are awake. That is excellent. Okay, vamos a seguir. Okay, with... Okay, now, we have gone through security. We are in the plane. We are not sure where we are sitting yet. And now we have a number of options for our seat. On our boarding pass, we have a seat number. 17A. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, 17A. But now we have to choose. Oof. 17A. Where is 17A? If you are 17A, probably you will be sitting in economy or coach, as you can see in the picture on the right. That is where people like myself travel. Usually the seats are a little bit small, especially for someone like me. I'm a tall person, a big person. So for me, it's a very small seat, but we manage. And that's where most of us will sit. This looks like a nice picture. Right? This looks like a comfortable economy. We say economy class or coach. Coach is the same thing as economy. Okay, so certain airlines have economy, certain airlines have coach. It's the same. All right, it's the cheap one. that's where I sit. Okay, so sometimes it can be crowded, sometimes it can be stressful, but it depends on the flight, of course. However, if you travel on business, maybe, hopefully, your business has bought your ticket in business class. Oh, yes. Look at that seat. Business class, you have a lot more space. You have your own seat. You can lie down all the way. It's much more comfortable. Usually business class seats are at the front of the plane and tickets, of course, are a lot more expensive. Yeah, a lot more expensive, sometimes double or triple the price. Yeah, but for most short distance flights, it's not worth it. Short haul flights, business class is not very exciting, but for the long haul flights, that is where business class really pays off. That's where we want to sit in business class. Yeah. It's something that we all dream of. Yeah. So business class, of course, if you have a business, but maybe your company, maybe your business says, no, we have to save money. You have to travel in economy. And then you are like everybody else, just like, perfect. Now, maybe you are thinking, but what about a difference? Is there, we have economy, business, is there one more? Oh yeah, yeah. I have never seen it, but I know it exists. There is one more class, the super deluxe first class. Of course, first class are only found in long haul flights, and usually they are super expensive. The picture you can see here is from a real first class from Emirates. Emirates is an airline from the Middle East. And in Emirates, you have a bedroom and a shower or a small bathroom, as you can see here. It looks like a hotel. You think, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, but it's very expensive. Yeah, the last time I flew to New Zealand, a long time ago, yeah, I flew from here to Dubai and from Dubai to New Zealand. And the ticket from Europe to New Zealand was in first class, one way, one journey, not the trip, okay? One way was more than 12,000 euros. And I thought, I like a shower, I like a bed, but 12,000 euros for one way, that's very expensive. That's not possible for me to pay. But we say that long-haul flights, if you can afford it, that is the best style. So maybe you can convince your business, your company, to pay for a first-class ticket. Maybe. On the slide here, we see long-haul flights. What does that mean? Well, long-haul or short-haul flights is what we say long-haul is long distance, short distance. Okay? And the longest flights now are very long, right? There are flights up to 18 hours or 19 hours, some flights. I think to myself, 19 hours? Can you imagine being on a flight for 19 hours? The longest flight I have taken was a long-haul flight from New Zealand to Los Angeles, and it was 13 and a half hours, and it was so long. I said, I was very confused by that. So many meals, so many night times. It was very confusing. If you want to travel, first class, of course, is best. And if you can't go to first class, maybe you can do business class. And if not business class, well, there is always the option of traveling like everybody else, in economy or in coach. All right. I think a lot of you are probably thinking now about, well, I want to travel again. Maybe many of you are a little bit envious or dreaming about where you're going to travel next. I know the pandemic has eliminated traveling almost entirely. Now, some interesting vocabulary to review here together, all of us, is, of course, these words. Airline, good word, yeah, airline. So airline is the word that we use to describe the different companies. Iberia is a Spanish airline, right? Ryanair is an airline. Ryanair, of course, is an airline too. Air France or Lufthansa, right? All of these are airlines. Okay, the name of the company. Now, when you land, you are not in the landing or the llegadas. No, llegadas is not an English word. We say you are in the arrivals hall. Yeah, arrivals. And typically, you'll see the picture here. You will see the plane coming down. Arrivals and the picture going up, departures. That's easy. Yeah? Departures, arrivals. Okay. To board is the word that we studied earlier. Right? We know to board. To board is when you get on the aircraft, usually, right? By seat number or by class. It's very unfair, but that's the way it is. And of course, you need a boarding pass to get on a ticket. Not to get on the plane. Sorry, not to get on the ticket. You need a boarding pass, your ticket, to get on the plane. Without a boarding pass, it's impossible to get on the plane. So don't lose your boarding pass. Good. I always think it's very funny, very Spanish for me. We see people boarding very early. One of the things I find so funny about Spain is when you go to an airport, and it's more here than in other countries. Huh? So in Spain, I've definitely seen it a lot more. When you go, I don't know, to Tenerife or to Ibiza or to London, and the flight leaves, I don't know, say at 7 o'clock in the evening, people will be waiting in line at 5 o'clock, waiting. And I say, but the boarding starts at 6:40. Why are you in an hour and a half? Why are you waiting now? Why are you in the line? The line or the queue? Why? Oh, because you want to be the first person to board. I think Spanish people love to board. That's my that's my understanding from all of this. I don't know. Maybe you have a different idea. Okay, next up. Carry on. The picture that we can see here is a small piece of luggage that would be called a carry-on bag. One piece of carry-on. Normally, you are allowed one piece of carry-on per person. Okay, they're supposed to fit in the overhead bins. What I said earlier, right? The name of the place where you put your luggage overhead, you put it in the overhead bins. So, of course, when you have your ticket, you need to see, is it a ticket, a good ticket or a bad ticket? Good or bad? Well, are you in the middle between the window and the aisle? That's a bad ticket. But maybe you have a good ticket. I prefer the window seat because I like to see things out the window, you know. But some people, they prefer the aisle seat because they want to walk, right? Some people need to walk a lot. I see it on the plane, especially long flights. They start walking up and down. It's like an exercise, you know. They get nervous, right? They go to the bathroom 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Like, oh, my gosh, what is happening? Yeah? They want to walk. If you are a walker, you want to sit in the aisle seat. The aisle, not the aisle, yeah, the aisle seat. That's the one, yeah, next to the corridor. It's the aisle. The aisle is another name for corridor. Okay? So if you check in, maybe the lady will ask you, would you prefer a window or an aisle seat? Right? So that's a possibility. Now, aisle seat. And then, of course, there's also the word tray table. What's the tray table? Well, the tray table is a little table that comes down and where they give you your lunch. You know, they give you your lunch or your dinner or breakfast, or maybe no food. Maybe you have to pay for food. But the tray table is the little table that is connected to the seat in front of you. And you can usually pull it out or push it back in. At the beginning of the flight, most people working on the plane will tell you, please put your tray table up. Or put your tray table away. Yeah. Okay. You need a tray table for every seat. And finally, we have the word conveyor belt. Conveyor belt? Belt? Como cinturón? Yeah. The conveyor belt is the area at the end, in the close to the arrivals hall, but usually not in the arrivals hall, where you arrive and then you have to get your luggage. If you have any checked luggage, right, if you have a big bag, maybe an oversized bag even, right? You need to go and take that. You can't leave it in the airport. No, you need to take it with you. Where? Okay, well, you go downstairs. You say, okay, my flight is, okay, Iberia 49, okay, conveyor belt 7. Okay, so then you go to conveyor belt 7, and then you have to wait. It's always waiting, so much waiting at the airport, right? And when you wait there, your bag will come out, and you have to take your bag, right? Please don't take anybody else's bag. You take your bag from the conveyor. Now, sometimes it's also called the baggage carousel. Okay, that's another name for the same thing. Depends on where you are. Okay, you take your bag and then you can leave the airport. Perhaps you will have to pass customs. Perhaps you'll have to pass security again. That's what we're going to look at next. Okay, security. Imagine for a moment, okay, that we are traveling. Remember when we travel? Oh, we love traveling. And you are traveling to, like our friend Maria Carmen was, to New York. Yeah, oh, nice, good trip. Nice, nice, very nice. Okay, and so you are there, and you have to go to security before you get on the plane, before you board the plane, you have to do security. And remember when I said earlier, maybe your bag has to go through the security device, right? The radiation scanner thing. And then somebody comes to you, right? a massive New York agent, you know, like a big, big, big cop. 2 meters tall, 1.5 meters wide, 1 meter thick, or muscles enormous, with his hand on his gun, of course, on the gun, right, on the gun. And they say to you, excuse me, madam, excuse me, sir, would you mind opening your bag, please? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, no, thank you. Thank you so much. No, that's okay. Goodbye. You have no choice. When someone asks you this question, you have no choice. And this is my next point. Okay. Think about it. Disculpe, señor. Yeah. Sería tan amable si pudiera abrir su bolsa. Oh, su maleta. In Spanish, you are not that formal. When we are traveling in English, we have to understand that the English language is what we use as a rule. When in English we have an order, an imperativo, we generally don't use it. So to give an order, para dar un orden, we don't normally use the imperativo unless there is a problem. For example, if the police officer is, if there is a dangerous situation, yeah, they'll say, hands up. Okay. Don't move. Okay. Yeah. 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 But normally speaking, in a general context, the police officer is not going to use an imperativo. Why not? Porque no hace falta. It's not necessary. Linguistically in English, we don't like the imperativo. When you have a position of power, like this enormous security agent, he doesn't, or this, it could be a woman too, but in this case it's a man, he doesn't have to use a threatening linguistic structure. He can be very polite and you will still do what he says. Because what are you going to do? Yeah. Are you going to run away? Are you going to say no thank you? No. You know that you need to follow the rules, that you have no choice. Tienes que hacerlo. So for us, the order could be indirect. Le molestaría abrir la bolsa. Le molestaría in Spanish? No. Por favor, ábreme. Yeah. Maybe por favor, but you're going to say it in a direct structure. You're going to give an order in Spanish. In English, never. Okay. So, but don't mistake. It's not because they are asking you a question that it's really a question. Yes. You have no options. You cannot say no, thank you, goodbye. No, no, no. Yes, be careful. All right. Last year, I traveled to the States. I traveled to see my wife's family, and I had with me jamón and different embutidos, right? Cured meats. But it's not allowed to have cured meats and jamón. Right? You are not allowed. It's prohibited to bring jamón into the country. So they asked me to open my bag, and then they took it, and they were going to destroy it. That's right. Destroy it. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're going to do. Of course, they were not going to destroy it. But that's what they told me. Yeah. They told me they would destroy the jamón, the cinco jotas. I was like, oh, the 5 J's. Oh, not the 5 J's. Please don't take it. But they took it. All right. Excuse me, sir. Would you mind opening your bag? Please. Okay. Very important question. And remember, not really a question. It's more an order. Okay. Now, you have security before you get on the flight, and you have security when you get out of the flight. When you land, right, you have picked up your luggage from the conveyor belt, and now you have to go through customs. Customs is where they check your passport, and they make sure that you are not carrying jamón, you're not bringing ham. Customs is the very scary place. Customs, not only in English-speaking countries, but around the world, it's a very serious place. And it's important when you're traveling for business to be polite. And if you don't understand the question, maybe because, you know, in New York, the accent could be very intimidating, make sure you ask for them to repeat the question. I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Don't get nervous. Yeah, it's okay. They are used to repeating the question, están acostumbrados a repetir. So, if you don't understand, si no entiende, ask for repetition. But number one is always be polite, okay? Polite, educado, por favor, okay? Second tip for customs, very important one. You are not allowed to use mobile phones or electronics. Ojo, ojo, ojo. Ay, careful, careful. If you say, I'm going to check it on my phone. No, not checking on the phone, okay? If you travel for business and you go to New York and you want to check something on phone, that's not allowed. While you're at customs, your phone has to be off or away. So you cannot check the question on Google Translate. No. You need to understand the question immediately. Okay? So keep that in mind. And finally, make sure you are always honest. Don't lie. If you have to come into the country, always tell the truth. If you lie and they know that you lie, you could go to prison. It's very serious stuff. Okay? Now, we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about that. Some very typical questions. Remember, no se puede verificar las preguntas en el móvil, porque no se puede usar el móvil, right? So these are questions that are very important to memorize, that you recognize them when they happen. Typical question. What is the purpose of your trip? Yeah. Purpose of your trip. Trip. Remember? Not travel. Not journey. Trip. And in this case, yeah, we ask, yeah, la intención of the viaje. Okay. And then, of course, the reason for that is because the customs officer wants to know if you have the right visa, right? If you say, oh, I'm here to sell, I don't know, vacuum cleaners. So vacuum cleaners, but your visa is for tourism. No. Denied. Volver a España. So if you have come on business, make sure you have the right business visa. And if you are not with a business visa, make sure you say that you're there for pleasure. Okay? Pleasure is like sightseeing or tourism or something like that. Okay. Another question. How long do you intend to stay? Yeah. So the question here is, ¿cuánto tiempo va a quedar en el país? Yeah. So, ¿cuántos días? ¿Cuántas semanas? So, something like that. And then you can always say the short term versus long. I will be staying 2 weeks, 1 week. Be honest. If I'm not sure. Okay. But most importantly, usually the customs officer will ask you if you have a return flight, a return ticket. Remember earlier? A return ticket. Yeah. Because if you have a return ticket, they know that you will come back. And maybe you have 1 month, maybe you have 3 months, maybe you have 2 weeks, but you may have to explain how long you are staying. Another typical question they ask is, where will you be staying? Right? ¿Dónde va a quedar? ¿Con quién? And then in this case, it could be the name of your hotel or of your relative, amigo, yeah, or conocido, family, something like that. Okay. Again, be aware. Be careful. In this example, it is possible, yeah, that you need to write it down on a piece of paper because you don't have access to internet at this point. So it's okay if the Iberostar in New York. Okay, perfect. That's all right if you write that. You don't need to know the exact address, but you need to have a good answer. You cannot say, oh, I don't know. I will see. No. Okay. If you need to understand the question and you want to repeat, ask the person, I'm sorry, would you mind repeating the question? Or, I'm sorry, my English is is a little bit limited. Please, can you repeat a little bit more slowly? Más lento. Okay. Remember, they are not the enemy. They will repeat one time, five times, 10 times until you understand. It's not a problem. Yeah? They only want to know. They're not testing your English. They're testing what you are coming to do in that country. Okay. What is your occupation? Sometimes they will ask this to check what your job is. ¿A qué se dedica? Right? What is your occupation? And usually this is asked because they want to check two things, right? Maybe they want to check your financial capacity. Do you have enough money? to come to our country. But also, maybe they'll ask you if you are going to work. If you say that you're a journalist, for example, they'll be very suspicious. Like, I'm sorry, we need to ask more questions. But if you say that you're a teacher, they're not going to be suspicious. Or you're a doctor, or you're whatever. If you are there for a business, make sure you have a business visa. Always double check. Okay. And finally, do you have anything to declare? Okay. And in this point, it is not the perfect moment to declare your love for your wife or your, you know, long lost friendship that you're missing. No. Anything to declare talks about, do you have any forbidden items with you? Cigarettes, cash, alcohol, drugs, anything that should be customs, yeah? Something that you should need to pay a tax on. Make sure you check. If you are as silly as me and you bring jamón and it's not allowed, they'll take the jamón. Okay? Always make sure to check before packing. Again, don't be embarrassed to ask for repetition. It's okay if you need to repeat. So, a typical conversation. Yeah? How not to sound suspicious. Maybe the agent's going to say, may I see your passport, please? And then you say, yeah, of course. Here it is. So, where are you coming from today? Ah, from London, UK. Oh, thank you. Well, what is the purpose of your trip? I'm here on holiday. Enjoy your stay. Welcome to New York. Oh, there you go. That was it. It doesn't have to be very long. But if you answered the questions correctly and quickly, no problem. Stamp and welcome. Okay? But be ready to answer longer questions. That's always a possibility. All right? Good. Now we have gone through customs, but what happens if the flight is delayed? Oh, that's the worst, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes a flight has a delay, and we can also say that a flight is delayed. Delayed means the flight is late. We don't say late. We say delayed, retrasado. We do not say retreated or retraced, retardado, nothing. Delay, okay? You can have a flight delay of a couple of minutes, and sometimes a couple of hours, and sometimes a couple of days. Hopefully, it's never going to be a couple of days, but I've had one flight that was delayed for 2 days once, and it was a nightmare. It's in London. London. Terrible. Terrible delay. If you have a delay, remember, you could always go back to the executive lounge. That's where you want to go. I promise. Okay, next up. In the airplane, we have some useful vocabulary. Fortunately, when you will be traveling for business, you will probably not be traveling with this particular airplane. You will be traveling in a larger aircraft or airplane, that is going to be staffed. There will be people working there that are called cabin crew members. All right, cabin crew members. Cabin crew members or cabin crew refers to men and women, the cabin crew. Okay. And then we can say we have a flight attendant. A flight attendant, again, could be a man or a woman. In the past, we said steward or stewardess or air hostess or air host. Those words are very, very old fashioned. Okay. Nowadays, we don't use them anymore. Flight attendant. O sea, ahora mismo ya no se usa air hostess ni air stewardess or steward porque son demasiado viejos, conservativos. There's a words que ya no se usan. We say instead flight attendant, man or woman, or the group, the cabin crew. Okay, so if you go on a plane and you need to speak to someone, you say, I need to speak to a cabin crew member. Okay, or I need to speak to a flight attendant. That is the correct word. Okay, so a typical conversation could be, excuse me, could I ask you something? Of course, I would be happy to help you with anything you might need. Would it be possible to change my seat so I could sit with my husband or my wife? Yes, of course, that shouldn't be a problem. But let me check and get back to you. Of course, thank you so much. Get back to you means, yeah, return later with an answer. Okay, respond. Or reply later. This is a nice conversation. Remember, we are polite. You don't have to say, oh yeah, listen. No, no, no. We are polite, right? We say, excuse me. See how polite we are? Could I ask you? I would be. Would it be possible to? Very indirect. In English, we are indirect, right? We don't say, I want. We don't say, I want. I would like. Would it be possible? Always indirect. Okay? Remember that. Remember to always be polite. We are very indirect in nearly all contexts, whether we are with friends or whether we are with family, and especially when we are in business. When you are on a business trip, remember that you are representing your company, and it's important that you have a good image. Remember, that's the thing we talked about 2 weeks ago. If you are impolite with the cabin crew members or someone at the airport, they might remember your company as a problematic one. Okay. Okay. We only have a few more things to do. We have seats. In the plane, of course, there are a certain number of seats, the good seats and the bad seats. The good seats, of course, are the first class seats, the beds, or the business class seats, which are like the couches, the sofas. But if you don't have first class or business class, you sit in economy, economy of coach, and then you have a number of choices. We have a window seat, perfect. We have an aisle seat where you can walk, right? The corridor, the aisle seat. Or perhaps you want an exit row. An exit row seat are seats with extra long space between because there is no seat in front of you, right? Those are the emergency seats. And very often you need to understand English in order to sit in those seats. ¿Eh? Cuidado, porque muchas veces van a preguntar si usted sabe inglés para poder sentarse en esos asientos. Si no sabemos inglés, no se puede sentar en los asientos de emergency, the exit row seats. Okay? That's one of the good reasons that we want to learn English so that you can sit in the comfortable seats. Now, a bulkhead is the last kind of seat. Bulkhead seats are the seats that we have with nothing in front of us, like a wall. You know how planes are compartmentalized? Son compartmentalizados. And so in those different compartments, there is a wall. And in that case, as you can see here in the picture, there is nothing except, you know, a wall. No passenger in front of you. So typically these bulkhead seats are used for families, right? Those are the kind of comfortable seating for families with young children. Okay, but I'm going to round it up here. I'm going to wrap it up. We have a few more slides here. I'm not going to go over today. No voy a pasar sobre esas slides here hoy, because we are running out of time, but I've included some very useful questions and answers, okay, with typical sentences for the vocabulary, okay? But vamos a terminar aquí hoy. I want to say thank you very much for your hard work, and of course, I hope you enjoyed our lesson today, okay? So I want to say again, thank you very much to everybody for coming today. I know 2 hours is a lot. Son mucho, 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 mucho escucharme. 2 horas es muchísimo tiempo para estar en clase conmigo. Quiero agradecerlos a todos. If you want to travel abroad, make sure that you check the different sentences of where you're going. Hay que mirar las frases que se usan en el país mismo. Okay? And remember that accents are different. Es normal que no se puede entender todos los sitios. Don't worry about that, okay? We are not trying to make it difficult. Al final, in the end, it's important to communicate, right? It's not important to not make mistakes, especially when we go on holiday, okay? I hope you guys are going on holiday, all of you, soon, and that you go to somewhere where you can practice your English.
Escuela de Administración Pública de Castilla y León.